and speak to you in the name of God. Amen. On the last day of the Major League Baseball season in late September 1941, Ted Williams stroked 6 hits in 8 times at bat in a doubleheader to finish the season with a batting average of .406. That means that over the whole long season, from April through the 4th of July, through the dog days of August, into the tawny last weeks of September, Ted Williams averaged 4 hits for every 10 times he went up to bat. That also means that one of the greatest hitters in baseball history, in his best season ever, failed 60% of the time. Since that dramatic day 80 years ago, no one has matched Ted Williams' accomplishment. Generations of baseball greats, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Reggie Jackson, Ken Griffey Jr., Mike Trout, name your favorite, have been even greater failures in their chosen lifetime work. Every year there's speculation that somebody might match that iconic achievement, but so far nobody has come close. The same Ted Williams, as devoted in his chosen art of hitting a baseball as he was committed to solitary and solemn relations with the public, once said that hitting a baseball was the single most difficult feat in all of sport. And that was said by someone who could see the baseball seams rotate in slow motion as the pitch came toward him. His eyesight was so exceptional. Apparently, when the bat and ball connect correctly, there's a rare feeling that time and motion have been overcome. My son John tells me that when you swing and hit the bat on the sweet spot of the bat, hit the ball on the sweet spot of the bat, you can drive it forever and you don't even feel the impact. I have to take his word. I can't even see the ball in the batting cage quickly enough to get the bat off my shoulders. But there are players now in the Baseball Hall of Fame who did not even bat 300 for their career. Such is the chance for failure in that wonderful and transcendent game of baseball. In the strange way my mind sometimes works, I found myself thinking about Ted Williams and the constant failure of even the greatest batters as I listened once again to the parable of the sower and the seed. For it also is a tale laced with failure. A man went out to sow seed. He threw some seed on the path, and birds ate it up. He threw some seed on the rocks, and they sprang up and died. No soil. He threw some seed among the thorns, and the thorns won. Only a fraction of the seed fell on good soil and thrived. And that, said Jesus, is like the kingdom of God. Much failure, a little success, and you have to keep sowing, and don't be discouraged by the failures. Like many parables, this one is perhaps misnamed, for it is not so much about the sower or the seed, it may be about the soil. And this must be the point of the story. Just as every sower does his work in spite of many frustrations, so the kingdom of God, inaugurated by Jesus, makes its way and will be established in its fullness only after much apparent loss. But there will be a sure and glorious harvest. The kingdom does come at last. That there should be setbacks and apparent failures in the course of its coming is just what many could not understand. They expected the instant triumph of the kingdom. The accent of the parable is not on how people should hear the word, but on the fact that the kingdom will certainly come with a harvest beyond all expectation, but by way of failure, disappointment, and loss. It is especially difficult for us to appreciate this parable and hear it as a promise of hope. We are citizens of a culture that punishes failure and glorifies success and growth. It is likely that some of our current pain and discomfort with social inequality, all the trouble with the COVID-19 virus, the economic slowdown, relates back to decades of greed grown wide, of the lure of quick growth and easy solutions and the abandonment of long-term development. But the kingdom of God comes like a thief in the night, like the bridegroom at midnight, like a cup of cold water given to one in need, like new birth, and like wheat growing patiently with weeds until the harvest. In the steady and difficult and small victories in the struggle for peace and justice, in the turning of one heart away from racism, in the wrenching and wandering journey toward health care and human dignity, in the small acts of mercy and forgiveness, in the unnoticed changes of heart, in the vision of goodness and kindness that takes hold of one mind, in the commitment to overcome the evil power of this world that takes root in one soul, these are the signs of the kingdom of God. For a splash of water and a taste of bread and wine, the seed bears fruit. And the refrain for all who thirst for the kingdom of God and wait for its appearing should be St. Augustine's advice to his congregation in Hippo, given when the world was falling apart around them. Sing alleluia and keep on walking. Sing alleluia and keep on walking. In life and in baseball, the failures can be crushing. 5 years after his glorious season in 1941, Ted Williams played in his only World Series that he ever played in against the St. Louis Cardinals, who won in 7 games. Williams did not play well. For every 10 times at bat, he failed to get a hit 8 times. Throughout the entire series, he had only 5 hits, all singles, 1 bunt. He felt the blame personally and terribly, and in a game defined by relative failures, he was in despair. But some of the seed was still in the soil, and over the years it grew and bore fruit abundantly, but never perhaps as gloriously as on September 28, 1960, his last game ever. Before only 10,000 fans in Fenway Park, Ted Williams played his last game on a brooding, drizzly day. No championship at stake, no personal record at stake, on the worst Red Sox team in 27 years. It was not even an interesting game. Williams had no hits, although one foul ball almost went for a home run. Then he came up to bat in the 8th inning in what was to be his last time at bat in his whole career. Throughout his entire career, remember, he had failed 6 times out of 10. All those times of rocks and thorns and no good soil. Although I've been in Fenway Park many times, I was not there that day. Fortunately, John Updike was. And in an essay almost as famous as the day itself, Updike captured the luminous moment when the seed burst from the soil 100-fold. Understand, writes John Updike, that we were a crowd of rational people. We knew that a home run cannot be produced at will. The right pitch must be perfectly met, and luck must ride with the ball. Nevertheless, there will always lurk around the corner in a pocket of our knowledge of the odds an indefensible hope. And this was one of those times which you now and then find in sports, when a density of expectation hangs in the air and plucks an event out of the future. After 2 pitches, Williams swung, and there it was. The ball climbed on a diagonal line into the vast volume of air over center field. From my angle behind third base, writes Updike, the ball seemed less an object in flight than the tip of a towering, motionless construct like the Eiffel Tower or the Tappan Zee Bridge. It was in the books while it was still in the sky. Like a feather caught in a vortex, Williams ran around the square of bases at the center of our beseeching screaming. He ran as he always ran out home runs, hurriedly, unsmiling, head down, as if our praise were a storm of rain to get out of. He didn't tip his cap. Although we thumped and wept and chanted, "We want Ted," for minutes after he hid in the dugout, he did not come back. Our noise for some seconds passed beyond excitement into a kind of immense open anguish, a wailing, a cry to be loved. But immortality is not transferable. The paper said that the other players and even the umpires on the field begged him to come out and acknowledge us in some way, but he refused. Gods do not answer letters. That may be. But God watches over the growth of his kingdom. Apparently there is less good soil than rocks and thorns and dry paths. Failure and disappointment accompany us at least as much as they harass great athletes. But around us is a density of expectation hanging in the air. And occasionally it plucks an event out of the future to promise a taste of the kingdom of God. A businessman leaves his career at the height of prosperity to found tutoring centers for the children of poverty. Two women step across the battle line drawn in their countries and pray together for peace. A family member suddenly turns and smiles. Was forgiveness always this close? Here comes the kingdom in rich abundance. Amen.